clear. Oh, it comes off Hughes. A wee bit better. It is McHugh!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself and Jay will look back on a damaging defeat at Easter Road. We'll preview things after the international break, and we'll see what else takes a fancy over what will be a half an hour or so podcast tonight. Jay, welcome along.
Cheers. How are we doing?
Yeah, not bad, but I would say yesterday's defeat to Hibs all but confirms that we will be playing after the split in the bottom half of the table. A fairly convincing 2-0 victory for Hibs yesterday. We didn't get going. We'd lost the first goal from a penalty. The second one, we've switched off at a set piece and been punished there. A disappointing afternoon where we didn't hit the high standards that we had set in previous weeks.
Yeah, I think it was a wee bit of a wake-up call, if you like. Not massively disappointed. Obviously, you never want to lose a game, but you think how many times over the last couple of years we've recorded a podcast and we've been talking about how there's a way to lose a game of football. Many times over the last couple of seasons we've not done it. We've been really poor and there's been no fight. Instead, I think we were just beaten by a better side. It was as simple as that for me. Yes, there was maybe individual performances that could have been better. We maybe didn't get a little bit of luck. I think, the very start when Aribe puts the ball across and it, hits the post and comes back out on another day that goes in and suddenly you're absolutely flying. But I think overall, Hibs were just better than us. I think, I had a quick look at the stats earlier and it's very even, but I think over the, from the actual game itself, I thought Hibs were the better side. Disappointing to obviously lose the game. Disappointing because it was such a big, big game. I think if we'd went to Easter Road and won, we could be getting into these last few games before the split really, really, buzzing and confident that we could go on and claim a top six place. I think that's all but gone now. But not massively overly, not massively disappointed with the performance itself. I think it was just one of those days where, maybe guys like Aribe and Hasty, maybe a wee reality check for the guys. They've been absolutely flying, but up against a better side, they maybe struggled to make an impact. Maybe a reality check as well, just for the team and for the fans that, yes, we've been in a fantastic run, but there are still, teams in this division who are better than us and on the day will beat us. Disappointment, but not, certainly not angry or upset about it. It was always going to be a difficult task, and I think Hibs, fully deserved the 3 points.
There wasn't much in the game as a whole, though, was there? I think we went in 2-0 down, despite the fact that not a great deal had happened in the first 45 minutes. Then going into the second half, we had a few half chances, so did they, of course, but there's just very little between the sides in terms of goalmouth opportunities. Hibs are certainly more clinical, and I think Mark McNulty and the midfielder, which I'll come back to when I actually remember his name, certainly two standout performers for Hibs.
Yeah, as I said, I think you're right. I think, it wasn't, as I said, I thought Hibs were the better team, but I certainly don't think they absolutely dominated. And I think on another day, you maybe do get that little bit of luck. Maybe the referee doesn't give the penalty. The one that hits the post actually goes in. Maybe Danny Johnson sticks that one away at the end. So, we certainly had chances to score goals. And it's not, a game that was, a point or 3 points certainly wasn't out with our grasp. But I think, overall, as you say, that even I think it was yourself who had mentioned on Twitter or something like that after the game, or just about the fact, the actual two goals that we conceded, one's a penalty, one's, just kind of switching off at a set piece. It's poor goals to lose, I think. I would need to see the penalty again. At the time, it seemed like one of those ones where if it, if you're a Hibs fan, you're absolutely screaming for it. If you're a Motherwell fan, you're convinced it's not a penalty. I have seen the highlights on the Motherwell YouTube, but I've not, seen the kind of slowed down alternative angles that you would get with the BBC. But, to go Easter Road, full of confidence, flying, hoping that this is going to be a, you know, your most important game of the season that can maybe set us up for a top six finish, to go and concede a penalty and switch off at a, you know, a ball into the box, I think that's disappointing, and that's certainly something that we can obviously look at. But I think, as I said, I think overall Hibs were just the better team, and unfortunately it was one of those days where maybe, you know, the fact that we don't have a goal scoring striker up front perhaps was an obvious thing. You know, we've kind of mentioned in the past that I think Curtis Main has done the role well as a lone striker. He puts himself about, but we have been relying on guys like Aribe and Hasty and Turnbull, particularly the latter two, in terms of goals. And I think when you go to somewhere like Hibs and they manage to keep those guys quiet, then, you know, you are looking for somebody to maybe make something happen at the top end of the pitch, somebody to actually stick the ball in the net. And I think that maybe for the first time, certainly in my opinion, I know a lot of people have got on Main's back, but I think for the first time since this run at least, I think yesterday kind of highlighted that we need somebody different up top. Not that we've got somebody different up top, I would still stick with Main for the rest of the season, but I think we need somebody that can, you know, even create a chance themselves up there and stick the ball in the net.
Stefan Omeonga on loan from Genoa. That's the midfielder I was missing. Yeah. I think he played number 40, but he was excellent throughout the game yesterday. He ran the show in the middle of the park. And I guess that highlights the fact that we've got a bit of youth in there and a bit of an experience. When a player of that quality you come up against, you've got to adapt and raise your game to that level. And maybe guys like David Turnbull and Alan Campbell learned a wee bit of a lesson yesterday that they will come up against guys that are very, very talented footballers. And in those games, you might actually struggle. So I guess while in defeat, there might have been some positive lessons learned there.
Oh, absolutely. No, I think that's spot on. You know, everybody's been singing the praises of the midfield trio that we've got, you know, Campbell, Gordon and Turnbull, because they have been fantastic. But those days are going to happen. You're going to come up against better players. There's going to be days where perhaps things don't go your way. And they're not going to win the midfield battle every week. It's simply not possible. If they were winning the midfield battle without question every single week, we'd be, you know, challenging for the title. Because, you know, if you win that midfield battle, you can usually go on and win a game of football. So, yeah, it should be a bit of a, you know, a lesson. And that's a good thing when you've got, you know, guys in there who are still young and still learning their trade. Then coming up against a side who gets the better of you, if you can learn those lessons, then it will make you a better player. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how we adapt going forward. We've obviously been on a fantastic run until this point. With, you know, you can guess the team every week. There's no need to change it. So it'll just be interesting now to see if there is any, you know, not doubts in Stephen Robinson's mind, but with, you know, the next couple of games and obviously the break as well, before it, are we going to see maybe, you know, is it the kind of game where maybe alert Stephen Robinson to the fact that maybe Carroll McHugh comes back into the middle to add a bit of steel or something like that? I'm not suggesting that I would do that. I would be more than happy to go with the midfield three. But it might be, a, you know, not just lessons for the players on the park, but also Stephen Robinson in terms of team selection moving forward.
Yeah, and now we go into the international break. Obviously, it's now 13 days until our next match at home to St Johnston. That being said, there's young guys like Turnbull, Campbell, Maguire and Hasty all will be in action for the Scotland under-21s. So they'll be kept ticking over during this break. I guess we've got to look at the St Johnston game as an opportunity to bounce back and at least go into that last week of the season before the split anyway with a hope and a chance of finishing in the top half of the table. It's going to be very, very difficult. I don't think there's any getting away from that now. Hibs actually played the night before we play St Johnston, so they could actually be up to 8 points clear of ourselves with only three games to play. I think the chances are getting slimmer by the second, and that's just one result that it took for Hibs. They've won what was a must-win game for us. But would you start to ponder ringing the changes already, or it's going to be hard to motivate ourselves as fans for these last eight games. But I guess the positive performances in the weeks prior to the Hibs game, that should be enough to get most fans along to Fir Park, and even just in the hope of a good performance, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, well, one of the reasons that, or one of the, I'm not going to say one of the reasons that, you know, we're going to games at the time, cause, at the moment, because obviously the reason is we're Motherwell fans and that's what you do. But one of the kind of the attractive things, and one of the bonuses since the, you know, the new year, is the fact that you're getting to go and see guys like Turnbull, like Campbell, like Hasty, Aribe. So that's still there. Like, you know, they're not going anywhere, at least until the summer. So there is still the potential. You know, I could sit and watch Liam Grimshaw run through brick walls all day. So there is that, you know, there is still entertainment to be had. There is still points to be collected. You know, certainly don't think that, you know, the fans should be considering not going along for the last few games because the season appears to be over. I think you're right. I think top six is done. For me, to have a chance of finishing in that top six, we really had to win yesterday. So to lose the game, I think it now becomes about, you know, topping that bottom half of the table. We have the chance now to, you know, beat St Johnstone, which would be a big boost to that. I know the St Johnstone game was called off at the weekend there. I'm not sure when the rearranged game is going to be, but, you know, it means obviously if they win that game in hand, there'll be a point ahead of us. But we've certainly got the ability and we've got the chance now to go and try and finish seventh. And again, as much as we can be disappointed, it just shows you, you know, how football changes and how fickle fans can be. You know, we probably are all quite disappointed that the top six looks as though it's out of reach. And I suppose the instant or the natural reaction to that is to be a bit pissed off and look at it as a bit of a failure. When in reality, a couple of months ago, the objective was just not to finish bottom. So to actually still be getting into the split, albeit, you know, It may, who knows, you know, football's a funny game, who knows, we might still make the top six, but we're probably going to go into that split in the bottom six, but we have a great chance of finishing seventh. And when you factor in where we were pretty much right up until Hogmanay, that would still be a phenomenal achievement. And then of course you get, you know, the added financial benefit of finishing as high up the table as you can be. So yeah, I think there's still plenty to be positive about. There's still good players and young players playing in claret and amber that are worth going along to see. And then, of course, you know, I've seen a few debates on forums and social media about, I don't get the logic, but the debate about, you know, would you rather finish top six but have a better chance of losing, you know, every game you play after the split, or would you rather finish bottom six and at least be able to go along and potentially win most of your matches? It's a nonsense debate. I've seen some folk try to claim that we should be, you know, they would prefer us to finish bottom six so that we could win games. That is just mental. We should be aiming for the top six quite clearly. But if you're going to finish the bottom six, then I suppose it is a, you know, it's a comfort knowing that you can actually go and see guys like Turnbull and Hasty potentially, you know, tearing teams like Aki's apart again. Because as disappointing as it might be to be a bottom six side, for that 90 minutes, it's still enjoyable.
It's so disappointing in the sense that you leave Easter Road yesterday, get back in the bus, check my phone, and then see the Aki's are beating Hearts. What do we need to do to get rid of this mob? They were utterly stunk out for part of the week before. Absolutely hammered them. They were lucky to get away with a 3-0 defeat. And then they go and beat Hearts. Like, it just seems like such an Aki's thing to do. And I heard a wee bit of debate on the radio earlier on today about Aki's and how this is a different Aki's squad, but they still seem to have that mentality that they can dig their way out of situations at the bottom of the table. They're now seven clear of the bottom. They've got obviously a big favour from Celtic scoring in the 95th minute today.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like we won't even have the thrill of being able to push them into a playoff or in the bottom spot, which would have been nice to go over to their place and put them in their place one final time. But unfortunately, it's going to quite likely be the case that we'll get them at least another three times next season. So yeah, that's a bit heartbreaking as well. I think that's one thing I would have looked at the bottom six and thought, well, there's a good chance we can relegate Aki's. But I suppose it does give us the opportunity to go to Dundee and win again, which we do every time we go there anyway, don't we? But I think it's maybe also a chance for the younger guys like James Scott to get, I'm not going to say lesser opposition, because there's not many really poor teams or teams that are much poorer than we are. I think we're marginally better than the three that are fighting it out. And that has been shown in the first half of the season, that we didn't have much of a gap on the likes of St Mirren, Dundee and Accies, and the league table very much reflected that. The game on the 29th of December was a crucial game in kind of moving us away from that drop zone. We thought for long spells of the first half of the season that we were going to be in a 14 mini league battling it out against finishing bottom. So the transformation performed under Stephen Robinson there has been nothing sort of fantastic. It's been a real, real achievement from the manager. I think finishing the top six would have been right up there with finishing in the two finals last season, or reaching the two finals, given how grim it was looking. And that kind of chat obviously came up when Stephen Robinson reached the 2 year mark in the job. And it's been a mixed bag. I don't think there's any getting away from that, is there, Jay? There's been points where we've been fantastic with these two brilliant semi-final victories that gave us the hope that we could finally end a trophy drought. Of course, we didn't manage to go that final step, but great memories created by Stephen Robinson last season. This season, he's brought in the likes of David Turnbull, Jake Hasty. Alan Campbell had already been in the team, but he's another one that's really, really thriving just now. We're watching an entertaining brand of football. And that's following on from a team that in the first half of the season looked like they would never, ever win a game of football again. It was just, we were going along and watching this tragic, tragic style of football. Hating going to the football, debates between ourselves whether we were actually going to go along to support the team. So what a difference the last couple of months have made. And it's completely turned me full circle again, I must say. There was a point where I thought I would happily accept Stephen Robinson moving on. Remember, he was linked with the Luton job maybe 3 or 4 months ago. Now it's very much the case that he's the man I want at the helm. And I think he deserves a great deal of praise for sticking around and winning the battle, which is certainly one of his favourite phrases over the 2 years in charge as well.
Yeah, I think that sums up. I mean, you know, we would all love to have been playing this style of football and, you know, seeing guys like Aribe and Turnbull and Hasty, you know, maybe a little sooner. But again, that's the nature of hindsight, and that's what it is to be a football fan. You know, maybe we could have, maybe if we'd thrown those guys in, obviously Aribe wasn't there, but if we'd changed things up and threw the younger guys in a little bit earlier, would it have changed his fortunes? You know, it's one of those questions that we'll never actually know. The reality is, though, that they've been introduced and that the changes are just ridiculous. You know, you even speak to opposition fans about this Motherwell side, and you know, it's so obvious that they can't even believe it's the same team. You know, it's almost as though there's a 13th team within the top flight has just appeared, because it's absolutely not the same Motherwell side that was playing in the first half of the season. So, I mean, that's a positive. As I said earlier, if you're going to be in the bottom six and we're going to be a wee bit disappointed about it, and it's going to have that kind of maybe end of season, particularly after the split, if you're going to have that sort of, I don't want to say mundane, but you know, your season's petering out a little bit. There's a bit more of a friendly feel to matches when you're not actually playing for much. So if you can kind of combat that with an exciting brand of football and the chance, because let's be honest, one of the things that I think you always want to see as a Motherwell fan, certainly in my opinion, is the young players coming through. There's nothing better than going to Fir Park and, you know, there's a couple of guys in that team who have been at Fir Park since they were, you know, 8 or 9 years old. It's what the club should be all about. And it's brilliant. So to actually get to go and see these guys, and just, you know, what you were saying earlier about slight, you know, lesser opposition in the bottom six. I mean, it is, you know, perhaps if we get those last five games and we're absolutely safe of relegation, we obviously are, but there's no sort of competitive element in terms of trying to get the top six, then that would be a good time to start introducing some young players, because it's one of those, you know, it's the debate about the league restructuring. You know, if you have a bigger division, in theory, that would encourage youth development, because you get to a stage in the season where there's teams in that middle that don't have the threat and the fear of relegation and can start to introduce young players. So perhaps we would. You know, James Scott, I think, deserves a few games up top now. As I said earlier, Curtis Main, yes, he's done well in that role, but I think we really need to be looking at next season now. Who is going to be leading the line? Are we going to be going out and, you know, trying to track down a striker that can play in that lone striker role? Or do we give James Scott a run of games? It's all very well throwing him in here or there, but he's a striker. He needs to get a goal. He needs to get a run of games. He needs to get a feel for the way the team play. And we now have that opportunity. So again, I think, you know, Stephen Robinson has done a great job over the 2 years. I think it is, you know, I think you're completely right in what you say. But it's now again about building for the next season. We had, as much as this has been a great turnaround, and we should praise what he's achieved at Motherwell in terms of the cup runs and in terms of this season, we also need to acknowledge that he's a young manager. He has his faults. I think we should acknowledge that last summer, yes, one or two of the players, such as Gordon, who maybe originally looked as though he was going to be a poor acquisition, has turned out to be a fantastic signing. But by and large, I think we would all agree that the transfer dealings in the summer weren't particularly good. I think we got a lot wrong. So it's another test for Stephen Robinson. So if he's going to be going into the summer and needs and wants to have a clear picture of where he needs to strengthen, who's going to go, who's going to stay, then I think these are the games you start to use that. You know, if you're in the bottom six and you're safe for relegation, you can start to see, right, is this guy going to be able to prove anything to me in the last five games, or is he going to get moved on? And that's what I'd like to see is kind of looking at as well the last five games. But of course, as we've said, we're not actually mathematically out of the top six race. You know, it could be a miracle. We could go and win these last three very, very tough games and cruise into the top six, even though it doesn't look particularly likely.
Yeah, and he did say, maybe after the game, Stephen Robinson, that the battle for the top six isn't over. And while that's absolutely stone iron fact, it does, as you say, seem very, very unlikely at this moment in time. Still fixtures against St Johnstone at Fir Park, a trip to Pittodrie, and then the final game before the split is a Sunday fixture at home to Rangers. So certainly all three games will be very, very challenging. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. When you were talking about James Scott there, I think that the point he's not got that first goal is quite a significant one, isn't it? Because the longer you do go, and now he's making cameo appearances from the bench, he's only had that one start at Celtic Park where nothing eventful happened for James Scott that day, did it? But he certainly didn't. He's not managed to find the net as yet. He's a regular scorer for the reserves, and he has been for a couple of years now. But that can affect your confidence, and it almost becomes a bit of a burden, a weight on your shoulders, that you've not managed to achieve a first goal for the top team. So it could be an interesting one. I would say that fixtures against struggling teams and teams that are battling for their life, of course, they're not going to be easy, but they do present a better opportunity for James Scott to find the target.
No, that's spot on. I mean, again, like I was saying about building for next season, if we are going to persist with if we're going to be sticking with the formation that we've now went for, and we're not looking to return back to like the 3-5-2 or anything like that, then you need to identify who's going to be, or who's your first choice at least, for that lone striker role, because it is a very specialised role. You know, it's very easy to kind of treat it like a game of FIFA where, you know, you have a, in inverted commas, best striker, and you just throw them in because they've got a better rating than anybody else. But that's not how football works. A lone striker needs to be able to tick numerous boxes, you know, in terms of chasing down defenders, holding the ball up. They need to be athletic. They need to be strong. They also need to have vision and ability to bring in the wingers, to be in the right place when the ball goes into the box. And I don't think we have that as such. I think Curtis Mayne has a good bash at it. But as I was saying earlier, he's not scoring goals, and I think that he's possibly the best of a group of players who aren't lone strikers. It's as simple as that. I think Connor Salmon, I think, you know, I doubt we'll ever see again. And Danny Johnson, for me, just, you know, A, isn't a lone striker. He's never going to be a lone striker. But B, I don't think, yes, he had that kind of purple patch earlier in the season, if you like, but when he has been introduced recently, he just looks so far off it. I think it could possibly work out for him if he was partnered up front. But I think by and large, he hasn't had the impact that we would have hoped for. You know, he was obviously brought in with the idea that he could be the new Louis Moult, if you like. And it's just, you know, so far from that, it's frightening. So that just leaves James Scott. And so if you're going to, you know, give him more game time next season, or if you're actually going to consider, you know, if we've now brought in Hasty and Turnbull, presumably James Scott is the next one on the conveyor belt. So if the intention is next season that he's going to get a lot more game time, I would give him these kind of fixtures, like you're saying, to actually go out, prove that he can do the job. But yeah, get that all-important first goal as well. You know, again, we don't want to belittle teams like Aki, but we want to belittle Aki's because they're Aki's. But, you know, the standard of the teams in the bottom six, it's not easy. You're still going to be coming up against, you know, top-level defenders. You're still going to be up against teams that are potentially fighting for their life, so they're going to be up for it. But there is always the chance that, you know, is James Scott going to stand a better chance of getting a goal against a Dundee or a St Mirren? Or is he going to have a better chance against a Celtic or a Rangers? It's obvious it's going to be the former. So I'd agree with that. I wouldn't be against, you know, between now and the end of the season, giving James Scott a couple of games, or even just chuck him in, you know, for the next game and leave him there at the end of the season. Because if he can get a goal and can get a feel for the way the team plays, then you can go begin into next season knowing that you potentially have a ready-made lone striker there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly a time to give more youngsters a chance, I think. We've used that last season as well, in the closing stages, guys like Turnbull and Maguire got their opportunities and fared very well. I can remember coming away from the Partick Thistle game towards the end of last season, maybe the second or third last game of the season, and Turnbull was the star of the show. Mm-hmm. We got a 1-0 win in that night. But certainly, these opportunities will only help the development of these guys. There's no substitute for playing first-team football. You can have all the goals at reserve level, but it doesn't really make a great deal in the grand scheme of things if you can't do it in the first team. So giving them these opportunities certainly could be a plus point from finishing in the bottom six. Just a final one. I said that the reserves don't matter that much, but the reserves do have a League Cup final to look forward to. A fixture against Hearts played at the neutral venue of Tynecastle, which was slightly interesting. But I do assume that it is due to the kind of situation with Fir Park, and very few reserve games, if any at all, are played at Fir Park. So maybe I actually suited Motherwell to... It won't give Hearts that much of an advantage. They play at the Orium for their home games. They'll obviously be familiar with the surroundings, but it'll be a good occasion for the youngsters. And you look back in the Youth Cup win, I think that was 2016. That was a great occasion. It was great to see another team in a final and actually win it and win it well. I think it was 5-2 in the night. And we want to look forward to, and obviously the club will make a big deal about it, and rightfully so.
Oh yeah, that's any Motherwell team in a final is a big deal. You know, we don't get it too often, but obviously in the last couple of seasons we have. But yeah, I think whether it's the, you know, a youth team, the reserve team, the women's team, or indeed the first team, I think any Motherwell fan likes to see, you know, the club, you know, at some level reaching a final. So it'd be good to obviously get a decent crowd. I'm not sure, you know, if the game being at Tynecastle, well, I know obviously the game being at Tynecastle will probably impact the number of Motherwell fans that would possibly go to it. Whereas if it, you know, obviously that Youth Cup game at Hampden, there was a really decent Motherwell support, really noisy Motherwell support as well. So that maybe will take a little bit of the gloss off it. I'm sure the guys in the reserve team would like to, you know, see a big Motherwell support through there making a lot of noise, and I'm not sure if that will happen if it's at Tynecastle. But any Motherwell side in any sort of final is something to applaud and to cheer on. So hopefully they can do the business, because it'd be even better to, you know, win the trophy. It's one thing to kind of criticise the fact it's at Tynecastle, but if you go and win, it just adds that little bit of, it makes it a little bit sweeter that you've managed to beat them. You know, at their home stadium.
Yeah, that's it. And we'll briefly turn our focus on to our next fixture, the game against St Johnstone. Jay, I know there's obviously it's a lot of the game, 13 days away. The international break will come in between as well, so the landscape can change quite a lot. You don't know what's going to happen with certain players that are out of contract, and there's been speculation around a number of those guys, particularly Jake Hasty. So, as I say, the dynamic could have changed quite drastically come the game against St Johnstone. But as usual, and we say it every time we play St Johnstone, Tommy Wright has done an incredible job over the years there. Again, this season, they're in the mix for the top six. They've had a really difficult start to 2019 where they've really struggled for results. But again, it's testimony to how good a job Wright has done, the fact that they're still involved in the race and in the hunt for the top six. They'll be coming to Fir Park with a game in hand of Hibs as well. So the left, they'll know they need to win to stay in the battle.
Yeah, I mean, playing St Johnstone under Tommy Wright is never ever going to be an easy game. They are a good side. And, you know, as we're obviously sitting here quite, maybe not disappointed, but we're being realistic about our chances for the top six and kind of acknowledging that the chance is probably gone. Whereas, you know, St Johnstone will still fancy their chances. Hibs are in pole position, obviously, but St Johnstone still have a chance to possibly edge in. I can't remember. I saw somebody, I think it was in Pye and Bovril, had listed, you know, the remaining fixtures for ourselves, Hibs and St Johnstone. And, you know, it certainly wasn't ourselves that had the easier run. I think St Johnstone that might have just edged it. So they'll be looking at it, particularly with this game in hand against St Mirren as well, depending on when that's played, you know, in terms of the landscape changing. If it's before we meet them, then, of course, that adds a little a different dynamic to the game as well. But St Johnstone will be looking at the game, possibly looking to take advantage of the fact that we are perhaps out of the race now. You know, if they sense that maybe there's that little bit of, you know, just acceptance that our season's maybe over and we might not quite be at the up for the battle, then they might sense that they can really go for it and get a vital win for their quest to make the top six. But you're right, St Johnstone are often, you know, I don't want to say punching above your weight because I hate that phrase, but, you know, everybody's obviously giving Kilmarnock, rightfully so, plaudits, and Steve Clark came in. But, you know, ourselves, St Johnstone, Kilmarnock, three very similar clubs in terms of size, in terms of fan base, in terms of resources. But St Johnstone are the ones who, you know, every season just do it so consistently. And in fact, if you know, they're now the kind of side that when they don't make the top six, it's a little bit of a surprise. And I would imagine that their fans would be quite disappointed if their season comes along that they don't make the top six. But it'll be a very difficult game, it always is. And, you know, these last remaining fixtures are exactly why I felt we had to win yesterday if we had any chance of the top six. You know, we'd be disappointed, of course, if we go into the split not picking up any points for the remaining three games. But when you analyse, when you take each fixture as a standalone game, you wouldn't be surprised if we, you know, if we lose each game because they're very, very difficult.
And despite the fact there's no game next weekend, there is the podcast for part sleep out. And I know, Jay, you'll be on your way to San Marino for the Scotland game. I think, is that the Sunday, yeah?
Aye. Sunday night. Or Sunday afternoon, I don't know.
I'll be sober enough to remember it's on. But there is still spaces and still time to sign up. Just drop me a message on Twitter if you've got any questions around the event. Really need to get the Just Giving page up for individual sponsorship. I know there's quite a few people taking part that have already got their pages up. So if you've got any friends or family that are taking part, please do sponsor them. Supporting three very good causes. So it should be a good occasion. Chris Cadden messaged earlier on, so he's going to be there for the start of the event. Hopefully a few surprise guests over the course of the evening as well to help keep the spirits up. And what if yesterday's anything to go by, hopefully we can actually stay a wee bit drier and not quite as cold as it was yesterday, but hopefully that's the worst of the weather out the road. Jay, I think that's pretty much all we've got for tonight. Thank you very much for your time.
No worries. Cheers.
Short and sweet, but without the wisdom of Buster, we're always quite short of opinions.
In fact, the swear word count will be doing a wee bit as well.
I think it's actually zero just now, so maybe actually need to get a few in the closing seconds here. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back. No, we'll not be back next Monday. We'll be back the following Monday after the St Johnstone game. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
you're the